You've been listening to coverage of the March on Washington 50th anniversary with the President of the United States speaking live from in front of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Now, what I'm guessing is it means we can start the show.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
I don't know, man.
Hi, Jim.
We had a nice discussion in here while we were doing all this fun, and look who showed up. I'm telling you.
Happy state senator.
Happy but tired state senator. State Senator Tanya Shoemaker is here, and we're going to talk a little bit about the vote that was taken yesterday about Medicaid expansion, what it means, and all that good stuff. But look, we got to start the show quickly because we're already into overtime. And that, so 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280, snarky and, smarmy texts can be sent to 80373 and whatnot. And we actually have something to give away in the 4 o'clock hour.
And it's unique.
It's unique. And we're going to use one of Jim's impossibly stupid trivia questions again.
Oh no.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Okay.
Hey, who's got control of the board, big boy?
You do.
Thank you. Then we're going to do
that. You didn't even fly it past me.
No, I didn't. Because I knew if I flew it past you, you'd shoot it down with an RPG. So
okay.
That's why I didn't do it. So
okay.
All right. Roger's here. I'm here. State Senator Shoemaker's here. Let's start the show.
The flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yay. That was the Michigan House, by the way. Which reminds me, we need to get the Michigan Senate saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
We do. I can make that happen.
Could you make
for
that
you.
Happen? That
yes,
would be very
I will
nice.
Write that down right now.
Are you guys...
Do you say the pledge every day?
We do.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
All right. So are you ready to start the show?
Let's do it.
Good, because it's break time. So everybody get ready. We're going to talk about Medicaid expansion, the vote, the repercussions, the fallout, and whatnot.
I suspect Tanya and I will agree
on something.
We're glad it's over.
You're right, Roger. We do agree on that.
Everything else is up for grabs. All right, we'll be back. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. 590 WKZO. It is the Trifecta. It is Roger. It is Jim. It is State Senator Tanya Shoemaker. And part of the show brought to you by Bronson Children's Hospital Walk and 5K Run, September 29th. Register at bronsonhealth.com/walkrun. Oh, take a deep breath here. At some point, we'll be able to talk with Tanya about what happened in Lansing the last 24 hours or so. We keep running into things. Now we're going to run into Bob. Bob's good, though. He is good. And I do want to ask Bob. Lake Michigan, first of all, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
We're doing okay. I watched the radar last night and watched Lake Michigan do a job on every single solitary piece of rain that came across that looked like it was going to hit us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just beat the snot out of everything.
Right.
However, I have a friend who lives over near Owosso.
Right.
They got pounded. Over and over, actually.
Right.
So...
what county is that in?
Shiawassee.
Yeah, okay.
Shiawassee County. So, anyway.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's on the other side of Lake Michigan. How did it not kill the storms for them?
I don't know. I do not know.
That's why it's not Lake Michigan that kills the storms all the time.
Oh, okay.
It's just the way, it's the direction that they were headed.
Oh, all right.
I mean, look what happened to Detroit. Look what happened to the Tigers.
Yeah, that's true.
Night.
But we got no rain at all.
No.
Now, I mean, maybe a sprinkle.
There were a couple of drops.
Yeah, I saw some sprinkles this morning, too, when I was driving to work. But
we weren't in the path of the storms, bottom line.
Well, that's okay. So does that lead to the word?
Well, it's cooler today.
We noticed.
But you may have also noticed that it is still humid.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's not quite as tropical as yesterday. What is it, 74 yesterday?
Yeah.
It was 69 Monday,
mm-hmm.
74 yesterday. Today it's 71. And the wind's out of the north to northeast. So, yes, a cool front came through. But I'm here to tell you, it really didn't bring relief.
Didn't
it's cooler
do squat,
only
didn't.
Because it's cloudy.
Yeah.
But it is still very muggy. So the word is, this is the third muggy day in a row, and we're not yet done. So the word is mildew. This is mildew growing weather. This is everything just, nasty stuff. Yeah.
The dehumidifier in my basement is working overtime.
Working overtime and filling up very rapidly.
Yes. He just throws it outside so he can come in again.
All right.
Exactly.
Pretty much. It's part of the water cycle, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Roger's fostering the water cycle. It's good. All right, so this mugginess is going to hang around for a while?
Yeah, what's going to happen is the cloud cover today breaks up this evening. We get some clearing. Patchy, we're getting into the season where patchy fog can become an issue during the late night, early morning hours. The longer nights, it could be an issue. Nothing widespread, but I can see there being patchy fog overnight tomorrow morning. After that burns off, tomorrow is a warm and sticky day, and with the sun back out, it's going to, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable again. I don't think it will be as hot as it was yesterday. By the way, it did officially get to 90 yesterday at the airport
for
the first and only time this month of August.
Wow.
I don't think we quite get there tomorrow, though. The station thermometer outside the studio, it might get to 90.
Oh, yeah, trust me, it will.
And I think it will on Friday, because Friday is even hotter, upper 80s, if not lower 90s, still very humid.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be a scattering of showers and storms Friday afternoon and evening. It's still muggy on Saturday. It's still muggy on Sunday. Front comes through Sunday night, and it's cooler and less humid on Labor Day.
Okay, now that'll give you the other days.
How much cooler and how much less humid?
Well, it's going to have much more of an impact than the front that came through last night, but it's not really a front that's going to make it chilly. I think we're talking about highs in the 70s and nighttime lows in the 50s.
Is it going to generate precipitation when it comes through?
The front itself could bring a shower storm Sunday afternoon and evening.
Okay. As long as it doesn't rain hard.
It doesn't look like a lot, though.
As long as it doesn't rain hard up in the Mackinac Bridge, because, you know, I've walked that bridge before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun, but not in the rain.
Not in the rain.
No. You have 50,000 people on that thing walking in the rain, and no.
No.
It is fun, though, because you bounce up and down.
Mm.
I know you, if it's a suspension bridge, and you get to the certain part of it, and you can feel the bridge going up and down because you got 50,000 people
on it. That could be a little unsettling.
Well, if you don't like walking across the bridge.
Right.
Like Lori, our morning person.
Yeah.
Lori hates bridges, and I will, every once in a while, talk about how much fun it was to walk on the grating and look down, and she just throws things at me.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's okay. We'll talk to you on Friday about the forecast for the bridge walk.
Okay.
We can do that.
Sure.
So.
And we'll talk geek on Friday.
Yes, geeking on Friday. Yeah. All right. Well, air conditions ahoy. You know, that's the way it's going to be. Cool. Well, we'll talk
to you.
We don't talk to you tomorrow, Bob, because we have best of all.
Right.
So we'll talk to you on Friday on Geek Day.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
Bye, Bob.
Bye-bye.
All right. You ready now?
Yes.
All right.
We're actually going to
talk about something.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
State Senator Tanya Shoemaker is with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the last 24 hours and maybe a little before. First of all, hi. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Did you get any sleep last night?
I got about 4 hours of sleep last night.
Okay.
Yeah, so be nice.
We'll be nice.
So now you had talked earlier about this a vote. You wanted it to come to a vote, whether or not you're going to vote yes or no. You wanted it to, and it finally came to a vote yesterday. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of what happened as you guys went through the day yesterday?
Well, we had gotten together a week ago Tuesday and discussed what was in all three of the bills. As you know, I think you've spoke to about it on the program we have caucus members that are like, okay, if we're going to say no to this, then, you know, let's provide alternatives. So they provided alternatives, and so they got up and spoke on their bills. Randy, our Senate Majority Leader, then called everyone on Friday and this Monday and asked everyone what they desired. And I think the consensus was that at least it should come for a vote. I think the governor requested a vote. The people of the state of Michigan, I think most of them certainly wanted to vote one way or another. And so it was determined that we would vote on it yesterday.
So the first plan went down, and then the second plan went down, and then the governor's plan, essentially, which is what, you know, was in the study group and everything else.
Actually, Patrick Colbeck's never actually was voted.
It went
to general orders, but it was actually never voted upon. Senator Caswell's plan, which retains state control over it. It also funds it at the state level at about $200 or $300 million at the state level. But it retains all the control at the state level. That did go down as well. So then we came to the House bill. I think it's 4714. And I was not part of the who was going to vote what. The Senate Majority Leader thought he had the votes. He put it up. There were not enough votes. without the lieutenant governor casting a tie. And in Michigan, we have a rule that says he can only cast a tie vote. We had one senator that withheld his vote, and so that it wasn't a tie, and you need 20 votes in the state Senate to pass that bill.
And as it turned out, one of Roger's favorite people, State Senator Tom Casperson, ended up switching.
He initially, so it went up for a vote then, and he voted no, and then there was a motion for reconsideration. So, and what that does is allows it to come up for another vote. It kind of hits the pause button. And then there was a discussion between the Senate Majority Leader and Senator Casperson. And Senator Casperson, I think he came into our caucus and said that all summer long he had been supporting it. He just had some concerns, and his concerns were answered during that brief recess, and then did come back and vote for it.
And it's my understanding the amendment that he planned or that he wanted would limit hospital emergency rooms what they can charge uninsured people.
Yes, that's up to 250% of the federal poverty level.
Okay.
So it provides the same. If hospitals are going to charge this to Medicare, then they're going to charge the same rate to uninsured people at 250% of poverty level.
Okay. So now the big question is, why didn't Senator Richardville try to twist enough arms to get immediate effect on this? Because you have to have 26 votes. You got 20. Why didn't he go after that, I guess?
That was not discussed in our caucus, and so I think that kind of caught everyone by surprise. So I would imagine that is still probably being discussed as we speak.
Now, it's obviously there are differences between the Senate bill and the House bill, and so it'll have to go to conference.
It goes back for an up or down vote to the House of Representatives. And if they non-concur, then it goes to conference. If they concur, then it just goes right to the governor's desk.
Oh, okay. What impact does not giving it immediate effect have on the state setting up the exchange?
Well, it goes into statute, so technically you can meet all the deadline, but if you start with the reimbursements, I would imagine that it would have budget consequences to the budget, at least until April, which is when it would go into effect.
What does that mean, the budget consequences?
I've not talked to our appropriations chair, but I would imagine that it will cost the state a lot of money.
See, now the figure I heard was $7 million a month. But now, here's my other question. If the House votes to immediate effect, can it come back to the Senate for a revote? Would you be able to possibly get the votes together to vote for 26 votes, and then it would take immediate effect?
That's a very good question, I'm going to withhold my answer on that because I don't know offhand, and I don't want to give wrong information.
Okay, I'm just curious as if the House turns around and says, okay, we do want immediate effect, then would it, because the bill changed, would it come back? Then you guys would have
this
to take
it. This is probably
up
an issue that's going to need to be dealt with.
Okay.
What does your gut tell you? Is there going to be immediate effect at some point, or with the negative consequences for the state budget, if it's not done, do you think that will happen?
The general rule has always been that immediate effect is not really based upon the substance of the bill, that it's a procedural vote for the Senate caucus.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I was one of those that voted no on immediate effect. Probably I was a little upset at the way the vote went. I'll be quite honest with that. I feel that that we are going down a road which is unsustainable and is really, it's short-term money that we're getting from the federal government and handcuffing ourselves to an unsustainable program and not really going to be, it's going to cut into all areas of the state budget in about another 9-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know what Roger's next question is going to be.
Okay.
But he's going to have to hold it.
Okay.
I'm glad you're going to ask it, because if you weren't going to ask it, I would.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's my mantra. Remember, we talked about this, sort of. I'll explain it to Tanya in the break.
Okay.
We have State Senator Tanya Shoemaker in studio, and it's an honor and a pleasure to have her. We're talking Medicaid expansion. We will be right back. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZL. At least I'll look good anyway. Hey, it is 590 WKZL. It is the Trifecta, brought to you in part by Bronson, the first hospital in the region to offer a new life-saving heart surgery. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/TADR. With us, State Senator Tanya Shoemaker, and we're talking Medicaid expansion. All right, Rod, you want to ask me a question?
Sure.
Go ahead.
If this falls apart, is there a backup plan to deal with the 500,000 Michiganders who don't have health care?
You know, I'll tell you an interesting story. I went down and toured the housing resources last Wednesday. And what Obama...
Here in Kalamazoo?
Here in Kalamazoo.
Oh, okay.
And what Obamacare is doing is taking a lot of full-time people that have jobs that may or may not have health care insurance through their employers, but now is making them part-time. And they told me that in the last 4 weeks that they have seen an increase of number of people that are losing their houses because they can no longer pay their mortgages because they have jobs at Bob Evans. And now their 40-hour work week has been cut down to 29 hours a week. And I can tell you that this federal health care system that is being forced upon us, the Affordable Care Act, is not going to do anything to deliver, I believe, market-centered, employer-based health care insurance. What this is all aimed to do is really to create one government-run health care system. And, you know, maybe that's your idea of what will produce great outcomes, but it certainly is not my idea.
Well, let's skip over that, and but let's talk about how we're paying for the 500,000 people's health care now. And that is, we're sending them to emergency rooms. The emergency rooms write it off by charging those of us that do have insurance extra to cover the people they're treating that don't have insurance.
You know,
and insured Michiganders had been declining significantly in the years before the Affordable Health Care Act, or I like calling it Obamacare too, for different reasons. I think it honors the man, but let's go to Michigan's workers were losing health insurance at a significant pace prior to the Obamacare passing.
Okay, I think you had several questions in there, but I think that your first question was with regards to the uncompensated care aspect, that this will actually drive down costs. And I actually take issue with this because I looked at other states that expanded their Medicaid base so that you could drive down uncompensated care. Well, first of all, uncompensated care is probably about 1% of what is out there. But second of all, if you look at the state of Maine versus, I think its neighboring state is New Hampshire, Maine expanded Medicaid 10 years ago. So we have 10 years of study to look at about expanding Medicaid to, I think I said Medicare, I meant Medicaid, expanding Medicaid to this population. And actually, it drove down no of the uncompensated costs. The same amount of people, which I believe was 11%, still utilize the emergency room. So actually, this whole uncompensated care argument, I don't buy into, because Maine is a perfect example of why it does not drive down uncompensated care costs.
So what?
Okay, I don't know the main the statistics from that, and so I can't.
I'm happy to provide you
that.
The article here. I've got it
okay.
Right here.
Well, we're running out of
time. Let me ask you really quickly. Can we carry you over for a little bit?
Absolutely.
After 4 o'clock? Fantastic. What happens if this doesn't get immediate effect? And what do you do with the 500,000 people? Do they go into the exchanges, or what do they do?
Well, it is statute, so I would imagine that barring that, you know, it passes the House and then has the governor sign it, it will start to take effect. And And we'll do that. With regards to immediate effect, it would be just short term. I would imagine the Senate will come back and somehow vote for immediate effect.
All right. State Senator Tanya Shoemaker has been nice enough to stop in with us. We're going to talk to her after 4 o'clock on the Medicaid expansion vote. CBS News local news coming up. It is the trifecta on this Wednesday, 590 WKZO.
Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.